Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
Okay, we had been discussing chapter 4, Jnana Karma, Sannyasa Yoga, Yoga of renouncing actions in knowledge. So far we have learnt in Bhagavad Gita that the sole goal of any being is happiness. And happiness, we have seen, is defined as absence of unhappiness. As long as there is unhappiness somewhere, I cannot be happy. Just like as we have seen, the cold is defined as absence of heat is cold. Darkness is defined as absence of light is darkness. Happiness is defined by lack of unhappiness. So my true nature is actually happiness, but the infusion of unhappiness creates this state, which I call it going back from happiness to unhappiness, happiness and unhappiness. When there is no unhappiness, I'm happy. No matter how many other things are getting well in my life, it just won't let me focus on that. In Shastra, it's called kakadrasti. A crow is flying over a garden and everything else is beautiful underneath. But crow is not focusing on all the beautiful flowers. He's focused on a karakas which is lying in that garden. That's where he goes. So our kakadrasti is, we don't focus on what is right in our life. We focus on what is wrong in our life. So we have to get out of this habit of seeing what is not right in my life. So what we try to do is keep searching for happiness rather than avoiding unhappiness. The search of happiness leads us to believe that my actions will get me to happiness. So we act in this world to achieve happiness, which is already with us. But these actions also lead me to results which are unhappiness. So therefore we have seen in last chapter, Arjuna's question is, Atha kena prayuktoyam papam charati purusha. There is no one in this life who really wants to become unhappy. And still we end up becoming unhappy by our own actions. So the actions are at the root cause of whether I'm happy or unhappy. So therefore we need to understand what the actions are all about. So the one thing we learned is, I can't live without actions. Because actions is the very nature of my own being. Nature is part of Prakriti. It is one of the attributes of Prakriti is action, rajas. And as I am part of Prakriti, as this body, mind, intellect is part of Prakriti, action is a very signature of my being who I am. So actions I cannot avoid, that's given. Now how can I avoid actions which gives me unhappiness? Well again, when I am performing actions, there is not a single action I perform because I want to be unhappy. Well, let me do something that makes me unhappy. Let's see how it feels like. There is no curiosity about unhappiness. I really don't want to know. But I still end up being unhappy. That's because I'm not understanding what actions are all about. So we learned in chapter 3 what actions are all about. So the first thing we learned is yagnarthat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. All actions are binding if they are not performed for the yagna, for the spirit of common good. Then it is binding. If I'm doing it for myself, they're binding. When those actions are binding, I'll be bound by the results in a sense. I really don't know what the results would be. They may come back as conducive results and I'll be happy. Or they come back as unconducive results and I'll be unhappy. So now I am in a conundrum. I want to act because that's what's going to make me happy. But also I'm not confident that my actions will make me happy, because I have no control over my actions. So there got to be a way to get out of this conundrum. of acting and reacting, and then acting again. So Bhagavan said, yes, there is a yoga. The yoga of knowledge. When the knowledge takes place that I am not the actor, you will be released from this bondage of actions. Because you are not performing the actions, you cannot be bound by it. So that is Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga. Yoga of renouncing actions in knowledge. When knowledge takes place that I am not the actor. Guna Gunesu Vartantaha Iti Matva Na Sajjate. We learned that in chapter 3. So once I figure out that the actions are only taking place at the Prakriti level, by my qualities of my body, mind and intellect, and qualities of rest of the universe, when they come in contact with each other, they react with each other. Hydrogen and oxygen, when they are two independently standing, there is no water. When they come together, they create water. We also work in this world the same way. By ourselves, we are not reacting to anything. As soon as we come in contact with another being or an object, we react. There was sometimes we had a good chemistry with him. What do you mean good chemistry? For no reason I like him. And with no reason I dislike him. Guna Gunesu Vartantaha. I detect gunas in him or her. Maybe physical, mental, intellectual, something which I like. I tell people that how I got into hotel designing business. Very first limited hotel. I had designed full service hotels in my life before I came to Virginia. But then I was looking for some work. Somebody says there is an Indian community. They design a lot of mid-level hotels. I can do that. He said, no, you're a big time, not small time. So just introduce me. So the first guy they introduced me was in Charlottesville. How about they said, let me come down there. Because one thing I figured out, I can win people over if I'm in front of them. On phone and writing, but if I'm in front of him, I can probably have a better chance. So let me come down there. So I go down there, talk to the guy, and then he said, you know, where are you from? I said, I'm from Gujarat. He said, we are also Gujarati. But where in Gujarat? I said, Surat. Said, oh, Surat. Said, we are from Randher. My parents actually come from Randher. I grew up in Surat. I said, oh, where in Randher? At the end of the day, we never talked about what do I know about architecture. They said, you are my architect now. Because your ancestors come from Randher, we come from Randher. Let the architecture sort out by itself. You are my architect. Something we find common, we like that. So therefore, these actions are all bound by gunas, but we consider it to be ours. So Bhagavan said that one who is understanding this, he will not be attached to these actions. Iti matva na sajjate, he doesn't get attached. But how do I get to that point that I don't get attached? I have to have knowledge who I am. So this chapter starts with Bhagavan said that I taught this yoga to Vivaswan. Then the Vivaswan taught to Manu. Then Manu taught to Ikshvaku. And thus, by lineage, the knowledge was passed on to generation to generation. But now because the long time has passed, the knowledge is lost. Obviously, Arjuna's question, when was Vivaswan and Manu, and you are now telling me that you taught them? And we have discussed that Vivaswan and Manu, from a genealogical point of view, we know that they are Krishna's ancestors. Vivaswan's son was Manu, who time of Pralaya saved his family and 7 rishis. And then Manu's descendants, Manu's son was Ikshvaku. So Vivaswan taught his son Manu. Manu taught his son Ikshvaku. And Ikshvaku, we know, is Rama's ancestor who established the kingdom in Ayodhya. And somewhere about 36 generations, Rama comes. Manu has 10 sons. One of them was the ancestor of Krishna. Somewhere in 60th generation, Krishna comes. So say, you are telling me that you are teaching all your ancestors, even if you don't consider Vivaswan a son. So then Bhagavan said, Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacha Arjuna. Tani aham veda sarvani natvam vetha parantapa. that this is not the only life that you and I know. Arjuna, you know me in this life as Krishna. But I have taken so many births before, and so did you. The only difference is, I know them all. You don't know your birth. This is a very bold presentation of concept of reincarnation. It was not that it was not introduced before, it was introduced in chapter 2. Vasansi jirinani yatha vihaya navani gurunati naroparani. We have already seen that this self is immutable, imperishable. It just takes from one state of existence to another. Depending on, we know from our study of Bhagavad Gita, by karma actions. Our actions create experiences in this world. These experiences create tendencies. These tendencies create likes and dislikes and desires. And to fulfill those desires, we take a next state of existence. So if my desire was to become a rock star, then obviously I learn music and then march on that path. So our desire leads us to where we are today. But you see, we won't remember how we got here. But the one who is very aware of this transitory nature of things, he will remember all of them. See, some of us are very good at remembering dreams. But all of us remember dreams, right? Some of my dreams even I had in childhood, I still remember. Either still scares me or still fascinates me. But I don't remember all my dreams. But let's assume that if I was so enlightened about keeping connected myself to my dream world, then I would know all my dreams. See, right now I'm only connected to my waking world and sporadically I'm connected to my dream world. So I remember some dreams here and there, but not all of them. Waking world, I think I remember everything. I think. Okay. I remember. Then somebody says, but Neil, you did this. No, I don't remember. You can ask Meena. I forget almost everything she says I did. She said, you did this. For some reason, women are very historical. They remember everything. From the day I met Meena till today, she remembers everything that I did not do right. And I don't remember any of that.
But you remember what she didn't do right.
No, I don't even remember. So we have very, what you call it, is a convenient memory. But at least I'm connected to the waking world. If I'm disconnected, then I will have to have psychiatric evaluation because I don't remember who I am and all the good stuff. If you imagine, as I'm connected to waking world, if I'm also connected to my dream world, then also my deep sleep, then I will remember everything. But for that, I have to be a third party, not involved in it. So assume that there is a recording device which is recording everything which is going in my brain. It will record everything. See, that's why when we see some of the recordings of our own childhood, we get fascinated. How can that be? Did I look like that? So we have a memory which is very specific to time and space. The time and space we are in, this is what we remember as the reality. But if there is some way we can connect all our realities, then we will have a complete view. Now Bhagavan said that you and I both have the capability to know that. But because of ignorance, that who I am has created smaller memory. More I identify with the localized situation, more I'll forget about my greater situation. Some of my friends still write me every year. And I have forgotten most of them because my nature is to wherever I am. Now I'm in Richmond, these are my friends and my family. More I identify with Richmond, more I'll forget my friends in Northern Virginia and Houston and Nairobi and Zambia and India. But some people keep remaining connected because they never belong to where they are. They may ask somebody and say, well, what are you doing? We, you know, we go to Northern Virginia every weekend. So why? We have all of our friends there. They are not connected here. They are more connected there. If I also don't get attached to my present situation so firmly, I probably will have the overall view. But we are so attached to and identified with this body, mind and intellect as I am today, that I forget who I was before. But one who remains detached to this body, mind and intellect and see that as my instrument. I remember all my cars. Right from the, we can say, what is the first car? All the security question has this. I have to remember, what is my first car? Because if I forget the next time I ask the security question, I won't be able to answer it. I remember all my cars because I'm completely detached from them. I don't really have much attachment to them anymore. So Bhagavan said, I remember them all because I lived through all of them without any attachment. So he can ask any security question, Bhagavan. What was your 64th birth? He can say that. Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavach Arjuna. You and I both have spent many, many births. The difference is you live through them as attached to each one of them. The moment you leave one, get attached to another one, you lost the connection to the last one. But I remain detached all throughout, so I remember them all. Tani aham veda sarvani. Swamiji says, even Arjuna could have said the same thing. Had he not been identified with his situation so gravely, therefore he cannot fight this battle. But Krishna, very detached, will say, let's go. So you and I will have the same situation. We have so many experiences we have gone through. But we only remember conveniently what makes us feel good or what really scared us, so we can avoid them. So Bhagavan said, this is not the only existence that you and I know. Then what is the reality of my being is ajah api. I am unborn. The ajah api, I am unborn. Ajah api san avyayatma. Bhutanam isvaro api san. He gives his identification. How he identifies himself. Somebody asked Neil, who are you? I'll give my life story. I was born in Surat. Then I went to architecture school. Then I did this. Then I started this firm. Then I'm doing this. Bhagavan said, none of this. Ajah apiyam, I was unborn. Avyayatma, imperishable, immutable, no change ever took place. In our case, changes took place. See my photo on my website, on NBJ's website, I look much younger. Because it was younger photograph. We took one time in 93, never changed it. Works very well for me. I'm constantly changing. Bhagavan says, avyayatma. We also like, if I wish I could look exactly the way I looked in the photograph in 93, that even 2005, 12 years old picture, but I could see the change in it. But once I'm avyayatma, that which did not change in me is who I am. Bhutanam isvaro api san, and I'm the Lord of all the beings. All the beings call themselves who they are because I function through them all. The same self which makes me say, I am, the same self makes you say, I am. Everyone says, I am. So that I am is common through all. There are no various selves in each one of us. The one self functioning through all of us. We identify with this body and say, that's this, I am, I am, I am. So Bhagavan said, Bhutanam Isvaro Api San. All beings call themselves I am because of me, because I function through them, the self. Prakritim Swam Adhisthaya. That ruling over my own Prakriti. Prakriti, nature. What is your nature, Neil? I'm a very nice person. I'm very calm. Till you ask me now again. But I see that's my Prakriti. Prakritim Swam Adhisthaya. When I'm in public, what do? I present myself by controlling my own Prakriti. It is only in front of your spouse you can control yourself. You know? That's where your real Prakriti comes out. Okay? But otherwise, I can control my Prakriti. So I don't get angry in front of everybody, even though I'm angry inside. Prakritim Swam Adhisthaya. By having the lordship over my own Prakriti, Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. I come into being through my own Maya. And Maya is a very interesting concept in Vedanta. We learned in Tattva Bodh when we talked about Maya. Yama sa Maya. That which is not but appears to be that is Maya. So from our day-to-day perspective, illusion. We all love magic, right? From the childhood, we all love magic. You know why? Or they make you see things which does not exist. Say, he takes a rabbit from a hat or a coin from his hand. Something which seems not possible, but they make it happen. So we all as adults know it's nothing but illusion. There is nothing called magic really in this world. It's all illusion. It's all tricks. But it's still, we are so fascinated by it. So when we see David Copperfield, he doesn't come anymore, so most of you don't even probably know him, but I know him because he was a great magician when I came to this country. David Copperfield, he used to make this Statue of Liberty vanish. Now we get completely fascinated by what happened to the Statue of Liberty. Oh, he made it vanish. Well, if he can really make it do that, the whole United States Army will be after him, isn't it? Where the heck this guy is who is making Statue of Liberty of a symbol of our liberty? But no, even President of the United States pretty happily watching in his home. Because we know it's nothing but an illusion. But we don't know how. But David Copperfield is in a complete control of his maya. He knows what the illusion is. He makes that appear in front of you or vanishes in front of you. He is the mayapati. And we are under the spell of maya. So he's the magician. And we are just the spectators. And we are just, slave of his illusion. So we say, oh, it's gone. Now he makes it reappear. Bhagavan says the same thing. Sambhavami atma mayaya. I present myself in this world through my own maya. Ajahapi, I never take birth in the first place. Avyayatma, I never mutate to something else. The snake which I was seeing was the rope before. But that same rope, I am now seeing it snake by my own ignorance. But that rope never became snake because it was immutable. From that perspective, the rope was immutable. Right? Ajahapi, the snake was never born. But I see the rope and the snake created by my own ignorance. The maya was created by my own ignorance. So Bhagavan said, my maya, through my own prakriti, I come into this world of beings time and again. Because this world is nothing but maya in the first place. The beings who think they are individual from each other is because of maya. Because of maya, I consider this is to be me, and that's to be her, and that's to be him. When the maya is removed, I know there is nothing but one single entity exists. There is no plurality, only singularity. But I see as plurality because of my ignorance, because I am under the spell of maya. Once I get out of the spell of maya, I become mayapati. Now I see the same reality as David Copperfield says. There was a show where they were revealing all those magics. I don't know whether you remember. And then there were all these magicians protested against him. So how can you have the show when all our secrets are gone? Because once the secret is revealed, there is no illusion. Bhagavan said, I can reveal that secret to you. By what? By jnana. When that jnana takes place, maya is dispelled. When maya is dispelled, all the sorrows are gone. There is no worry about where the Statue of Liberty are gone now. We know it was always there, is there, and will be there. It was the in-between illusion which this mayapati created that I couldn't see that Statue of Liberty. So we'll stop right here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina. Sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. Harihi Om. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.